family's supposed to be, and we come together to worship, but we come together to enjoy one another's company, and I find that very, very special. Thank you, Julie and Sue and ones involved. You know, if all I have to do is dye my hair a different color and the mortgage kind of decreases, I'll do it every week. Who wants to take care of next week? Unfortunately, this week, as we begin, I want us to take time, and we're going to have just a special time of prayer. As you've seen on the news, this earthquake hit Japan, and it does grieve me. They found, I think the latest I heard this morning was around 1,800 people that have confirmed dead. And, you know, 10,000 plus still missing. They have a nuclear reactor, actually a couple of nuclear reactors that are on the verge of melting down, which would send a massive amount of radioactivity into the area. And what really is disturbing, folks, is not just to look at a number and say 1,800 dead, 10,000 missing. It's to look and say 1,800 souls and 10,000 souls still missing and unsure of where they're at today. And when I look at those numbers, that's what goes through my mind. It's not just people. It's people who may not have known Jesus as Savior and Lord. And that grieves me. So what I want us to do is, I want us to just take a moment. And Dana said, she asked me yesterday, she said, "Dad, I sure hope you have something funny and light for the service tomorrow." And I don't. But sometimes we have to look at the reality of things. And there's still more to come. There's a threat of more earthquakes. So I just feel that we need to take some time here and bow. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to just ask in a moment here that we'll all bow our heads and you just pray where you're at for a few moments, just silently talk to God, and then I'll kind of wrap it up with prayer and we'll get into the message today. But please be lifting rescue workers up. Be lifting those who are missing, those who are searching for bodies yet, digging through rubble. Be asking God's hand to intercede there with these reactors that are melting down and the damage there that could be so severe. And pray for those that are lost and missing. So let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, this morning as we bow before you and before we get into your word, we just want to lift our voices to you and just be here, Lord, to intercede on behalf of Japan and the tragedy that has happened there. Father, we know that as your people, you hear our prayers, you answer our prayers, and we lift them up to you this morning. For you are the God of love and the God who cares for us and is able to do the impossible. And Father, I pray for those who have already been found dead and Father, for those who are still missing. I pray, Lord, that the multitude of those would be found and that they'd be alive. I pray, Father, for those rescue workers who are there digging through rubble and just looking to find someone alive and listening to voices and just looking to see who has survived this tragedy. And Father, we just ask that you would provide guidance for them, that they would look in the right places. And Father, we pray that as the nuclear plants there are having a meltdown problem, that Lord, you would just provide the engineering and the technology to cool things down, to cool the cores and the rods, that there would not be an explosion or a release of radioactivity. And Father, we just pray that you would place your hand there and on the engineers that are working on that. Father, we pray that those who believe, that those who have received you as Savior and Lord would be offering hope and offering your love to those who are suffering so greatly now. Father, we know that in all things you can provide comfort, and in all things you can provide peace, and even out of tragedy you can show victory. And we just pray that. For those who are rushing to the aid of Japan and the military and all that are coming in, Lord, I just pray for their safety as well. And that you would help them to discern the immediate needs and that they would be able to provide for those needs. Lord, help us to continue to pray and to continue to lift these things up to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd encourage you to keep praying. This is not a thing that is just going to go away quickly. And it's not that long ago that we dealt with and we prayed for Haiti and the tragedy there. And now we have another one here. And there's just a lot of tragedy in the world. We need to remember that. Something I want you to understand today. As we're talking, and as you're here, I'm talking to those of you who claim Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. I'm talking to those of you who have been touched by God, and in your heart, you know He's real. Those of you who have the Holy Spirit of God living in you. And the reason you do is because you made a decision a long time ago to ask Christ into your life, and it's a wonderful experience. To know that every single day, you walk with God and He walks with you. Every single day, when you get up and start your job, God is there. When you go to bed at night, God is there. And He's always, always, always with you. And sometimes, even we do those things that we have to say, oh no. God's there in the oh no moments too. And you know what? He forgives you. He forgives you because He loves you. And He calls you His child. So I want you to remember those things. And when you turn your back, He's still there. And He's always waiting, folks, for you to turn back to Him. And He's standing there with His arms wide open. And He says, my child, I love you unconditionally. I love you and I receive you and I embrace you and I will always be here for you. I want us to understand that as we begin today, because we're going to talk about a simple fact today. The fact is this: God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. God uses ordinary me to do extraordinary things. He does the same with you. Ordinary you, and you say, well, I'm not ordinary. Okay, you're the exception. But most of us are just ordinary. Now, I don't know, we'd have to look up a definition of that, I guess. But to do extraordinary things, God is working in us. I was talking to a young man the other night, and he said, you know, I have this feeling. And I don't really know what it is. I've had it for a long time, but somehow I feel that I am going to do something that is going to be really important in this world. He's got some ideas, but he doesn't know for sure. He says, I just have this feeling, and I've had it most of my life. And he says, I trust God is going to reveal that in his time. That I'm going to do something important. Folks, God takes ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Here's the deal. There's a young man, and a young man is trying to figure out, and I want you to picture these scenarios with me, trying to figure out life and to figure out what life is about following tragedy. And this is down at NIU, and he saw a classmate shot and killed. Two teenage girls together. They don't know why they were there, but they had come to hear the music and they heard a message and they didn't understand what they heard, and they were baffled and standing together and kind of looking around at what was happening with everybody else, and they were wondering, what is all of this about? We don't understand. A cancer victim. Days from his death, and not sure, wondering what comes next, wondering, well, what is the future? And then there was a treasurer for a queen, and he was reading scripture, and he didn't understand what it was he was reading. Now, the question this morning, four different people, four different situations. People were searching and searching for something that they haven't found, not even sure what it is that they're missing. And this morning, what do all four of them have in common? First of all four of them were looking. They didn't know what for. They didn't know what they were looking for. They didn't know what was missing. They were looking. One of them was looking for comfort in a devastating time. And how do I deal with this? And maybe as we think about Japan today, maybe that's what we're looking for. Maybe we're calling out to God today and saying, God, please send your comfort. Send your peace. Help me when I lay down at night not to close my eyes and see the images again and again of what I've seen on television of the flood coming in and people being swept out and homes being washed away. And help me with that. And give me comfort to get through that or other issues in my life, things that I don't understand. I had the unpleasant task this week of walking into a house. And when I walked into the house and I looked to my right, 5 feet, 6 feet from me was a man hanging from the wall. He had decided that it just life was not worth it. He had decided that he didn't want to go on anymore. And so he took a rope and he tied it to the wall and he tied it to his neck and he got on a 5 gallon bucket and he stepped off the bucket. And his life was gone. Folks, I call that a permanent solution to a temporary problem. Images. Images we don't want to see. Young man down at NIU, he didn't want to see those images anymore. Seeking comfort. So they had this in common, all four situations. They were seeking comfort. The second person, they're seeking peace. The two girls are trying to understand. Everybody's excited and everybody's praying and everybody's doing this. What is this about? Why are they praying and why is this guy saying what he's saying? And we really like the music and it's a great beat and we're enjoying this, but what is all of this about? And they were confused and they were seeking peace because their life was in turmoil. They were seeking, the third was seeking answers to the afterlife. What comes next? What comes next? What comes when this body, this shell falls away? What is the next thing that comes? What happens? You know what? When a person is that close to the end, It's not uncommon for him to ask that question. What comes next? And even those who are saved and have lived their life for Jesus Christ often will ask that. Because it's common. And then there was one who was looking for understanding. He had Scripture. He was opened up. He was reading Scripture, but he didn't understand. What does this mean? How does this apply to my life? And the truth is, as we look at this and as we talk about this, folks, we all seek the same thing. We seek comfort. We seek peace. We seek answers to questions about what the future might hold. And we ask for and we seek understanding. And because God loves you, because He has poured Himself into you, He wants you to find the answers to those questions. He says, "You are my children, and I want you to know." Well, the second thing that these guys had in common is that God did send someone into their life to help them find the answers. He always does. He always does. We've discussed and we've talked about how much God loves you. We've talked about how He's poured Himself into you and see you through difficult times. And if we were to go around the room, and even as I look here, if I was to say, has God taken you through a difficult time in your life? And could you tell us about it? There's story after story after story after story where God has come in and where He has interceded. And He's been there and He's lifted you up. And you know that you've been in His presence. And things have changed because of that. And that's exciting. We've talked about the fact that someone cared enough for you that they were willing to invest themselves in you and help you discover God. Isn't that cool? God loved you so much that He sent somebody into your life to explain it to you so that you could come and understand and receive Christ. Ordinary people. Just ordinary people doing extraordinary things. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like for you to turn to Acts. We're going to talk about this guy that was the queen's treasurer. Turn to the book of Acts. It's in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. It's in the New Testament, chapter 8. And I want to read this passage for you, beginning with verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and to sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" And then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told the good news about Jesus. I love that. The good news about Jesus. Anytime we hear about Jesus, isn't it good news? As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea.
It's a neat story.
And it's a story that talks about how God uses us. And we see the story of God using Philip. Philip was an apostle of Christ. You know, just somebody, a very close follower of Christ that Christ had entrusted his message to. Philip had a job, and his job was going to be to be Christ's witness in this world after Christ was not here. And so now we see Philip coming, and God is going to use him to reach this man who had questions. Well, notice some things here. We're just going to talk about them quickly this morning. One, God led Philip. God led Philip. And he led him to talk to the man. He always leads us to the right people. And I want you to know that because we are all called to be God's ambassadors. Would you agree with that? Would you agree that that's what the Bible teaches us, that we're to be the ambassadors? His hands, his feet, his eyes, his ears, all of these things, that we're working for him. And the thing is, when we're open to this, he always leads us to the right people. He knows who we need to talk to, and he knows when we need to talk to him, and he leads us to them, and he led Philip at this time to go up and to talk to this man. At a gas station one time, singing a song gave me an opportunity to talk to somebody. Two strangers, totally, coming together at a moment, at a time, and getting to share Christ with this man. Woman in the mall one time. I just happened to be there, and I can only talk of my experience. You have your own. And I just happened to be there, and she was stressed, and you can tell she was just beat down because it was Christmas time. Turned out she really didn't have a lot of money. She wanted to take care of her kids. She had all of these issues, all of these things going on. And she wasn't seeing Christmas for all of the other stuff. And I got to share Christ with her and help her to understand the true meaning of Christmas. Man mowing his grass. Just happened to be walking along and walking down the sidewalk and nice sunny day, taking a nice easy walk, and man mowing his grass, and decided, you know what, I need to talk to him. And I didn't know that he was out mowing his grass to try to distract his mind because there had been a death in the family. And he needed somebody to talk to. And somebody to help him make sense out of the tragedy. University of Wisconsin Hospital. Why was I there? I was there certainly to visit somebody, but just strange that day, that time, that hour, that moment that I go down to the cafeteria to get something to eat. And as I'm sitting there eating my food, there's a table next to me, and there's four people sitting at the table, and two of them are just weeping, and they're just crying, and there seems to be no comfort. And I get up, and I go over, and I talk to them and find out what's going on, and they've got a family member that is dying, and it's a very close family member. And they were open to the comfort and the peace that comes from Jesus Christ. And they were open to the concept and the idea of me praying with them. It goes on and on. Man in a hotel, and he's sitting at a table eating one of these continental breakfasts, and looked over at him, and just God says, go talk to him. And so I got up, and I go talk to him, and he begins to tell me a story about he's a truck driver, and he's from Nebraska, Iowa, wherever. It was really flooding at that time. He couldn't get home because of the flooding. He had these concerns. He felt very weighed down. He had heard a story about his dog being rescued, and how in the process of his dog being rescued, a little baby got swept out of the mother's arms, and fortunately somebody got hold of the baby, and the baby was... And he's telling me the story, and he's very, very beat down by this, and I had the opportunity to share Christ with him and to pray with him and then move on. God prepares the way, and he talks to us, and he talks to you. I want you to know that because he loves you. He will pour himself into you in such a way that he'll say, you need to talk to somebody. You need to talk to that person, and he will lead you to the ones you need to talk to. And guys, I got to be honest, it's a great feeling. It is a great feeling because you know you're doing what God wants. All we have to do, if you want to be used by God and have Him lead you, you just have to be available. That's it. You just have to be available. You have to be listening. And as He speaks to you and say, "Yes, Lord, I'll do what you tell me to do." And it may be uncomfortable and it may seem awkward. And you say, "Oh, no, no, no. That is too far out of my comfort zone. I can't walk up to a total stranger and start talking to him." God pours Himself into you, guys. And you can do it. If God is leading the way, if He's showing you this one, you can do it. And you can talk to them. Philip, as we read the passage, he was excited to serve. Think about this. Philip had actually been with Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? He had actually been with Christ. He knew Christ. He walked with Christ. He knew the whole story. He was a part of it. And now he has the opportunity. He's being a witness for Christ. You know what? We have all been a part of Jesus Christ. We have all experienced Christ. We have all asked Him into our life. We all have the Holy Spirit living in us. And we can be really, really excited about the fact that Jesus is alive in us through the Holy Spirit. And it is exciting that there's a story to tell. Notice what Philip does after the Holy Spirit reveals to him and says, "Okay, go talk to that guy." What's he do? He didn't just kind of saunter up to where the chariot was. It says he ran. He ran. He had something to do, and he knew that this is what God wanted him to do. And so he runs up to the chariot and just kind of walks alongside it for a while. And remember this, the chariot would not be just as one. The treasure wouldn't be traveling that way. But think, as he's going up to that, as he's running to this chariot, we don't know how far it is. We just know that God said go, and he said okay, and he ran to it. Was it 100 yards? I have no idea. But I've been in this position too, of approaching somebody and your mind starts to spin, okay? And you're saying, "What do I say? All right, I feel like I need to talk to this person. What do I say? How do I act? How do I begin? How do I get their attention? What if they reject me? What if I've read this wrong? Maybe it really isn't God telling me to do this. Maybe it's me telling me to do it. What about, what about, what about?" And we ask ourselves all these questions. Forget the questions. Just follow God. That's it. The questions mean nothing, because if we're where God wants us to be and if we're following God and He's leading us, you know what? When we get there, we'll have the words we need to have. I've had people on bereavement calls where we go to talk to somebody that has just lost a loved one. What do you say? And they ask me, what do you say? How do you walk into a house when somebody's just lost a loved one, and how do you comfort them? What do you say? Sometimes nothing at all. Just give them a hug. Just give them a hug. Philip had to be thinking about the guards, because they're protecting the treasury, and here he's running to the chariot. It's a royal caravan, so this means there's a multitude of people, not just guards, but people going along for the protection, because there was a lot on the roads and stuff. There was a lot of danger. And so you gather in with this procession and these guards for safety. Had to wonder this. Remember this. The Holy Spirit of God is alive in you. And sometimes it's just your story of how God has dealt with your life that people need to hear. Maybe that's all it is. We have to go from where we are. We have to meet people right where they are. Just your story. Just your story. You can share that, can't you? Can you tell people what it is to have God in your life? Here's another part of that. If God is leading you, which He does, it's a safe bet that He's already begun to work in the life of the one that you approach. In this case, The Ethiopian was reading scripture. Now, Philip didn't know this going up to him. God just said, go up there. Talk to this guy, walk with this guy, whatever. He didn't know what was going on. He's walking along, the Ethiopian is sitting there and he's reading scripture. It didn't make sense to him. By the way, that's real common. You'd be surprised how many people read the Bible or look at the Bible and they can't find answers and they don't understand it. And a great way to talk and share with them is just share the truth of scripture and what it's really saying. Did you notice the passage that the Ethiopian was reading? It's found, if you ever want to look it up, in Isaiah 53, verse 7 and 8. But Philip engaged this man, and he told him of the love of Jesus. Look at the passage. The passage he was saying, this is talking about Christ. It says he was led like a sheep to the slaughter. Listen, it was very common, and people knew that animals were slaughtered in sacrifice for sin. And that's what Jesus was. He was the perfect sheep, the perfect lamb that was slaughtered for the sins of the world. It says he was led like sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb, the shearer is silent. As a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. You know, when we study about Christ and we study about what happened in Christ, we don't see him yelling and screaming and making an uproar as he's being accused. He was silent. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? Nobody, because he was killed. He was killed. And what happens with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we're all his descendants. We're all a part of his family. Because he died for us. He paid the price for us. Do we have a message to share? We sure do, because Jesus loved us so much that he died for us. And I'll tell that to anybody. And I'll share it with anybody that needs to hear it. And guess what? There's a world of lost people that need to hear it. And he shares the story about Jesus. And guess what? After he shared the story about Jesus, the eunuch, this man that was on his way back, and he'd been to Jerusalem praying and on his way back, received Jesus as Savior and Lord. How do I know that? Well, he said, is there any reason I shouldn't be baptized? Philip knew that baptism followed receiving Christ. You don't get baptized, then receive Christ. That's not the way it works. Because baptism is the act of dying to the old self and being risen with Jesus Christ as a new creation. As one who is now following God and serving God. Baptism, as we go down, we die to the sin of the world. And as we raise up, we're raised up with Christ. And if Philip baptized this guy, he knew that the man's heart, he had received Christ as Savior and Lord. Do you get it? And they go down the water and he baptizes this guy. And it's just this brief encounter. Philip's nobody special. He was just somebody that knew Christ. I guess he is pretty special. But we know Christ too. And he baptized the man. And it's interesting the way it reads. And there's been a lot of discussion on this as to exactly how it happened. And all I can do is I can tell you my feelings towards it. It says the eunuch asked Philip, tell me please, who is the prophet talking about? Whoops, went the wrong way. Did I? Dump down. I got to get back in my notes. I'm just falling here. When he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. There's a question. Did Philip just disappear? Or did Philip just go his own way? I don't have a good solid answer. I believe what happened is that after the baptism that Philip, being led by the Holy Spirit, left and went the direction that God wanted him to go. I don't really believe that he just went poof and he was gone. That might freak the eunuch out just a little bit. But it says that Philip went on his way, or he was taken away, and the eunuch went on, and what does it say? He was rejoicing. This is the response. This is what people do when they find the good news of Jesus Christ. They rejoice. They're happy. There's something different inside. Do you remember? Do you remember? I have been a Christian for a lot of years. But I remember the time Jesus touched my heart. I remember the time that Jesus said, Dennis, I died for you. And he said, I want to be a part of your life. And I said, here I am, Lord. Please come. Do you remember the excitement? And you stood up, at least for me it worked this way. I stood up and I looked around and it's like, wow, everything looks new. Everything looks fresh. And why isn't everybody as happy as I am right now? I'm happy. I'm rejoicing. And I've got something to tell. And I want the world to hear this. And you know, there was no stopping me. I would tell anybody and everybody I met about Jesus Christ because he's in my life and he is exciting and wonderful. And do you remember that time? And he's still there for you guys. And he's still pouring himself into you. And you can have that smile. You can have that love. You can have that joy. And you can have that feeling of, Jesus loves me. And I want other people to know it. I get excited about it. I really do. I'm so happy that today I can still get excited about Jesus Christ. And you know what? When I'm way up in years and older than I am now, I hope I'm just as excited then as I am today. I pray that I would never let what God started in me turn into just an ember that's kind of flickering in and out. But that I would have a fire burning in me. And that's my prayer for you. That's my prayer for you. Because the same God who poured himself in me and loved me, the same God that led Philip to go and talk to this eunuch, that same God has poured himself into you. And he wants to be a part of your life and he wants to be guiding you to those that you can reach and to those who you can make a difference in their life. He's still working and he's still taking ordinary people just like you, just like me. And he's doing extraordinary things. My hope and prayer is that you plug into that. Feel the love. Know the love. And then serve. I told somebody one time, and I'm not going to go into this because it's really, really a different message entirely, but here's what God looks for. If you want to know what does it take to move and to do what God wants you to, and I fit the bill really well. My doctor this week told me I shouldn't, but God looks for fat people. Okay, he looks for fat. He likes fat people. So you know, you can grab on to someone and say, I'm not fat. Well, you can be, by golly. God loves fat people. Here it is. Faithful. I believe in God. I'm faithful in my service to him. And by faith, I can do all things by faith, right? So he wants fat people. So he looks for faithful people. He looks for available people. Real simple. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. You tell me to go talk to that Ethiopian, that guy over there. Word didn't come. And I'll go talk to him. You tell me, Lord, to climb that. I'll climb that building. I'll climb that mountain. I'll do whatever you want, Lord. I'm available to do whatever it is you want me to do. Faithful, available, teachable. He teaches us. You know what? I'm not the same man I was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, and I'm not going any further than that. I'm not the same because God has taught me a whole bunch of stuff and a whole bunch of lessons. But if you're fat, he'll use you. He'll use you. God is so great, folks, that he somehow made a difference in your life. And he desires that you would make a difference with those that are around you. You can do it. It's just a matter of listening and obeying. You can consider yourself ordinary. But God sees something else. You slip up at times and God forgives. You're no superhero, neither am I. But God has chosen you. He's chosen you to make a difference in this world and in the lives of others. And if that means you dye your hair green, that's okay. Or you put on some fuzzy lion slippers. It's okay. It's whatever it takes. Would you bow your heads, please? Just ask yourself this morning as we pray, how can I be used of God? Who is He leading me to talk to? Whose heart is He preparing today for me to have influence with? Because He prepares it. If He leads you to Him, you can be sure He's already begun the process. And He'll give you the strength to be able to reach Him and talk to Him and share with Him whatever their need might be. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You so much. You have chosen to use us in ministry for You. You have chosen that we would go and that we would be the ones reaching out to a world that is lost and dying. You have touched our hearts through Your grace. And through Your grace, You have given forgiveness. And Father, You have planted faith in our minds that through faith we can do everything You ask us to do. Even if it doesn't make sense, if You say go, we can go. And Father, we know that where You lead, we can follow. It's just all a part of being Your servants. Lord, I thank You so much for this congregation, these wonderful people that are gathered here. Your servants come to worship, come to learn and to grow. And I pray that as they would leave, that they would leave carrying Your message to the world. Because we know the world sure needs it. Father, we just give this to You in Jesus' name.